We are celebrating the solemnity of the most precious body and blood of Christ. Celebration which began in the Middle Ages, the 1200s, as an inspiration and desire in the church to have a special feast celebrating the Eucharist. We gather every week, every Sunday, the Day of the Lord, we gather to celebrate the Holy Eucharist. And as we grow up in this, there are things that we kind of not take for granted, but we get used to it, and sometimes we don't have the opportunity to really get into the mystery that we celebrate. Last week, well, I didn't say this Mass, but the Mass, as I was talking about the mystery. We had the Mass of the Blessed Trinity, and I was talking about the idea of what is the mystery in our faith. That is something that's not hidden, but it's there for us to celebrate, that we cannot comprehend the whole of it. And of course, the Eucharist is one of the mysteries that we have in our faith. Yet, it is something very, very close to us, because we celebrate the real presence of the Lord when we celebrate the Eucharist, when we receive His body and blood. So, in this celebration, I think it's an opportunity for us to see that when we gather here, the rituals and the words, somebody might say, oh, we always go through the Mass and it's always, you know, kind of the same thing, kind of boring for some. You know, you stand, you sit, you kneel, you stand, you kneel, you know, all these things, and why do we have to do all these? Well, that's a way of being present, you know, being present, saying that we worship God with our, you know, with our soul, with our minds. We worship God with our words, with our whole body as well. But what is beautiful that we celebrate here is knowing that the Eucharist, when we gather, kind of, or it is the union, coming together of our faith of the past, of our faith that is present, and our faith that invites us to look into the future with hope. The past, because the celebration we have is the celebration of the death of the Lord, His death and His resurrection. We were not at Calvary when Jesus was crucified. Yet, every time we gather to celebrate, that's as if we were witnesses at that very moment. The altar, and it's beautiful. The other day, I had the opportunity to be part of a dedication of a new church, a new parish of the Indian community. In Samford. And the bishop who came, they have a slight different rituals as they celebrate. They're Catholics, of course, but the ritual is Sri Malabar, you know, from a part of India. And but that happens also in our Latin rite, that when a church is dedicated, the bishop will take the holy oils and will literally, you know, pass all over the altar, because the altar that we have, it's more than just a table. It is the place of what we call the sacrifice. You know, back in the Old Testament, they would have perhaps a rock, a stone, or something that would serve as the place of their sacrifice, and they literally would sacrifice animals. Find them. Half of that animal they would burn, and they understood that smoke going up to heaven would carry away also their prayers of thanksgiving, their petitions, everything would carry all them up to the heavens. When Jesus, died on the cross, we call that the sacrifice. And we still have that word that says the sacrifice of the Mass. It's interesting, I've been hearing that word since I was, you know, a little boy. I began serving as an altar server when I was 9 years old. I was pretty young. And I was an altar server until I was 15. 15, I entered seminary, very young, but that's the age I entered the seminary as well. But I remember I would serve my parish, you know, had the main church, and then they have the chapels in the rural areas that the priest would go every Sunday to one or two communities. So you would have the Mass in the morning, then we would go to a chapel somewhere in the countryside, and then we'd have the Mass in the evening. My family always went to the Mass on Sunday evening. But I was scheduled to serve the 7:30 a.m. on Sunday, so that I would walk, you know, to the church the mile away, and I would go, and then I would go back in the evening. So I heard many times the word the sacrifice, and I really, when I was a child, I understand, yes, I'm doing my sacrifice. I'm waking up 6 in the morning on Sundays. That's my sacrifice for the Sunday, you know, and sometimes get winter there and cold. Of course, later I would understand that it was not my sacrifice that counted. You know? It was Jesus' sacrifice. For me, being there shouldn't be considered a sacrifice. It was a privilege to be part of that. But what we celebrate when we say the sacrifice of the Mass is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We know that after his sacrifice, after he shed his blood on the cross, there will be no need. There's no, you know, for the Christian faith, there's never been any time that they would still use the old Jewish rituals. Even the Jewish don't use that anymore. But the sacrificing of animals. Because Jesus, the Son of God, he was the utmost sacrifice. There would be no meaning of having any other sacrifice once he shed his blood on the cross. Now, he wanted to be part of the life of those who believed in him. That's why he said, you know, the Last Supper, we heard in today's second reading, in the St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, saying what he did in the Last Supper, that he took the bread, he said the blessing, he broke the bread, and he gave to his disciples, saying, "This is my body." And the same thing with the cup of wine, he gave them and say, "This is my blood. You know, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in memory of me." It's not only saying, "Well, we remember what we did." We make it, we renew it. We make the sacrifice anew, again. And he said, "Until I will come back again." So we are in that moment in history that every time we celebrate a Mass and the Holy Eucharist, we are renewing Jesus' sacrifice. It is like, as I said before, if we were present in front of the Calvary that day when he offered his sacrifice. And then we renew that sacrifice that will fulfill our, you know, our spirit, our lives, because he wanted to be that food from heaven for each one of us. And the gospel, we see that the Eucharist is one step more than what we would call a devotion. So we might say, "Oh, I have a great devotion to the Blessed Sacrament." We need more than a devotion. Devotion, we need more than admiration. We have to see in the gospel when the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Dismiss this crowd, it's getting late. You know, and we don't have food for 5,000 people, 5,000 men." You know, it just says that there is men. All the women and children were on diet on that day, so that's why they counted only the men, you know. But, and they said, "We don't have food, and unless we go and buy food for all these, you know, what's going to happen here in the desert?" And Jesus challenged them. Then he challenges them, saying, "Why don't you give them something to eat?" You know, that's kind of silly. Jesus knew that they wouldn't have food for 5,000 and plus people. He knew that. Yet it is a challenge. It is a challenge that we also feel, should feel today. That when we come and we gather and we receive the Holy Eucharist, it is not only that I say, now I have my personal Jesus with me and he is mine. There is no personal Jesus. There is, we receive the Lord, and then on turn we have to bring the Lord, to take him to other people. We become the ambassadors, we become the instruments of Christ into the world. And every time we come online and we receive, and the priest, the deacon, external ministry of Holy Communion, we'll say the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, we'll say, amen. I believe that is the Lord, the real presence of the Lord. But I also believe that I'm committing myself, not only saying, oh, I have a pure heart to receive the Lord, but also that I have that commitment of bringing him over to all those who need him. Bring him over, not necessarily bring a consecrated host. Bring him over me with my life, with my choices, of who I am, should show to the world what we celebrate here. So may every time that we come here, may we really, really find that fountain of living water that is the Lord, that will satisfy our thirst, that we'll find that food from heaven that we need because we are hungry. And the world and we ourselves, we hunger for God, we thirst for God, we thirst for meaning in our lives. Here we can find, and the Lord knew that. That's why he wanted us to renew his sacrifice. And every time we renew, we're going to repeat, once the priest says the words of consecration, same words that Jesus, repeating what Jesus said on the Last Supper, he will say, this is the mystery of faith. And then we will profess why we are here. We used to say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. What is the new translation? When we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come again. Same thing that he asked. Keep on doing this, not repeating just that, but making it as the first time, because he keeps on giving himself up to us. So may this day not only be a day of devotion that we should have, definitely, but be a day of commitment with the Lord, that nobody in the world may go hungry. Nobody may hunger for the food from heaven, and with our help, nobody would go hungry with the food from the earth that they need. We are the disciples today that should make that happen. And with God's grace, I know we will.